Hand off to Atlee, and he pops it up the middle. Atlee Simon midfield. Atlee Simon 50. He's to the Calgary 45 before he's dragged down by a wannabe at the 44.
Growing the Game with Ballsy is a podcast dedicated to growing the game of football in Saskatchewan. Each week, Michael Ball will talk with Rider guests, but he'll also highlight amateur athletes, coaches, and builders in this province growing the game we love. Now, here's Ballsy.
Growing the Game with Ballsy, brought to you by Paul Riviere and Riviere Ag Seeds in Radville. Thanks to him and his family for getting on board. By David Dubé and the Concord Group of Companies and Pizza Huts in Saskatchewan. By Paul Waldo, the three-time Grey Cup champ over there at Royal LePage in Regina. By Zelko Stefanovic, who runs the outstanding football program known as Sasalex Football, building the stars of tomorrow today. By Mark Greshner at Mark Greshner Photography. Check out his fine work at markgreshner.com. By Boys Next Door Window Cleaning, Landon and Nathan. They've got a great new website, theboysnextdoor.ca. If you want your windows cleaned, give those two young go-getters a call. And we'll get to Corey Zadorozniak and his sponsorship in a minute with our Where Are They Now segment. But while I have a second, I want to say congratulations to all the award winners as the awards were handed out for the Regina High School Athletic Association. And I want to make mention of a couple of athletes. On the female side, the Lauren Aston Scholarship Award winner goes to Jada Duval, who is a receiver for the Belfer football team. She was an outstanding receiver, wears number 80 for the Belfer football team and played for the Regina Victorias as well. She did a great job on the field and also off the field in the classroom. She's going to the U of R next year. And on the male side, the Lauren Aston Scholarship Award winner for the outstanding male athlete is a guy I know, Ethan Ball. Man, I got to say, I'm so proud of this kid. He works his butt off, not only working out on the football field as a leader, but in the classroom as well. And he's going to UND now as a safety for the UND Fighting Hawks. So that should be interesting. But Ethan, as your father, very, very proud of you. Congratulations. Look forward to the next chapter of your journey. And congratulations to all the kids who were recognized this past week by the Regina High School Athletic Association. Okay, time now to get to our guest. And Where Are They Now is brought to you by Double Z Ag Sales out there in Weyburn, Saskatchewan, as that is our good buddy Corey Zadorozniak, huge Rough Rider supporter. For grain marketing, grain hauling, and crop hail insurance, give Double Z Ag Sales a call in Weyburn at 306-842-2406. In the spotlight today and Where Are They Now is former Riders defensive back Bobby Hosea, who is also known for playing O.J. Simpson in the movies. And he's a guy that wasn't really here long. You started in Montreal in 79, and then you came to Saskatchewan for a couple of years, and then just like that, Bobby, you were out of the league. Before we get to that, what are you doing now, Mr. Hosea?
Well, I'm coaching down at San Bernardino Valley College, my junior college alma mater. This is my fourth season coaching the safeties down here. I also run tackle safety and performance training camps through February through August, and I've been an actor for 40-plus years as well. So I do a bit of a lot of things nowadays, but the love of my life is football, and particularly teaching players how to tackle safer.
Yeah, this game has changed, Bobby. Very physical game all the way through, but we're learning different practices to tackle. How is Bobby Hosea's technique maybe different than others that we've seen out there? Or what does your technique offer?
Well, we're the only evidence-based tackling technique on the planet which is proven to eliminate the very factors that lead to helmet-involved collisions by the defender when they attempt to make a tackle, whether that's we've identified, eliminated, and replaced the physical mechanisms, tackling terminology, drills, and techniques that lead to these brain injury and neck and spinal cord injuries. It's in our instruction. For example, the first thing you're going to hear, you probably yelled it since you were 9 years old when you saw me miss a tackle. Wrap him up! Right?
Right.
Well, that term, believe it or not, as old as it is the very physical mechanism that causes your hips to go back and your head to go down. I identified that many, many years ago in 97 when my son wanted to play, mm-hmm. and I was scared to death to allow him to play without my helping out. So I ended up being the doggone head coach. I didn't want to be. But I wanted to look out for my kid, but then I ended up having, 25 little boys, and their parents feel the same way about them as I do about mine. So now I had 25. So I literally praise the Lord, teach me to teach them. I always tackle the way I teach. But now you're talking about breaking it down to where you can teach it step to step to step. And that's what I did in 97. And just gradually the kids got better immediately, really, to be honest. Because what we do is what I recognize wrap them up means we call it hug your mama tackle. And that's when, so Michael, if you have your knuckles and your elbows on the same level and you go to put your arms around someone, wrap them up, physically your hips are going to go back and your head is going to go down. That's a physical mechanism that cannot be altered if you do it that way. And so that makes that physical mechanism of using your body in that way, you're going to end up like that in a 90-degree angle with your upper torso.
Mm-hmm.
Your head and your hips are going to be on the same level.
Yep.
And you're going to expose your head, whether you put it to the side or not. You see, football is fluid, back spin. Defenders are from left, right, front, back, all over. People are diving and falling. So when you put your head to the side, it's not science that is safe. It's only conjecture that is safe because many, many players have been impacted in the side of their head, in the top of their head, whether it be by the ball carrier or whether it be by the defenders helping to assist on the tackle. They call that friendly fire.
Mm-hmm.
So I recognized just that act of wrapping causes that physical mechanism that exposes your head. But if you do the opposite and you throw double uppercuts where your knuckles are up and your elbows are down and you rip, then that explodes your hips forward and that takes your head up and away. So that's a physical mechanism that is based on the words that I give. So the words that I give, rip, right? First you got to dip, which is step in an imaginary hole, have your knees bent, back foot just a little bit beyond your rear end, your front foot on the outside of your chin, and you're reaching back what I call your booger fingers for imaginary hand grenade pins.
Mm-hmm.
When you rip those hand grenade pins out, your hips are going to fly forward because you're trying to get your hips to the top of the numbers on the front of the jersey of the ball carrier.
Yeah.
Now, this is after you start eyes belt buckle high because you stepped into an imaginary hole.
Interesting. Bobby,
we've never had an injury ever.
Ever. That's interesting. If football coaches are listening to this, where can they follow you so they can find the link to maybe get the visual of this?
Well, right now, my site is down because I'm not down, but it's being reconstructed.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be gtgeorgethomasscience.us.
Okay, cool. Okay,
gtscience.us.
Awesome. Bobby Hosea joining us here, where the now former Saskatchewan Rough Rider defensive back. He came up on our call-in show after the game. A Rider punched the Ottawa offensive lineman, and he was kicked out of the game. It takes me back to when I was 9 years old, October 4th, 1981. Tiger Cats are here, and Bobby Hosea in that game. Gord Patterson, the Tiger Cat receiver. What do you remember about that situation?
Well, first, I just want to say to all the young listeners out there and football players, yeah, I lost control of that at that moment. So it was unsportsmanlike, and it indeed was myself losing my self-control. So I don't commend it, but I have never been punched in football. I've been face masked. I've been clipped. I've been cussed at. I've been hit in the back of the head. That's just football, right? But nobody ever socked me. So I'm going to the ball view if you have it right. So we're crazy that the camera was on me. I didn't have the ball. There's a defender going to the ball, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the camera was right on me, which is crazy. And I'm going to the ball, and so a receiver comes to shield me. I want to let him know that it's going to be a long day. Whenever you get close to me, I'm gonna hit you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no matter what, don't come close to me. If you're trying to shield me, I'm gonna hit you in the chest.
Mm-hmm.
And let you know that we're gonna have physical confrontation all game long. So when I hit Gordy. And I lift him a little bit off the ground. I think he didn't like it. And he's still standing there kind of, and I go to, I shouldn't have, but hey, football. So I go to push him a little bit. And as I go to push him, you can't really see it. But if you look at my head, I turn to my head to the right. Whereas I'm simultaneously pushing Gordy, he's swinging. And he's like, wow. I'm like, wait a minute. I've never been punched, right? So I know how to react. I'm in a foul mood anyway. We're playing. So I've been very... I'm in a hostile mood in the first place because we're playing football. So I'm like, oh, this dude wants to fight. I've never been punched, so I didn't know how to react. So I should have done it, but I did. And I hit Gordy right up under his chin,
mm-hmm.
Right up under his face, now shall I say, right on the bottom of his chin, and he rocked back. And if you watch the film, I go to swing because I thought he's attacking me with my left, and he's not attacking me. I realize he's unconscious. And then you can see my palm open, and I go, oh, my God. And I started praying because like Gordy's eyes rolled up in the back of his head.
Wow. And
it turned blue. And so I got very, very – I was concerned. And all my teammates came around, and I got – well, obviously I got kicked out of the game, which was
yeah.
deserved. But yeah, that I've never been punched. So young players, you know, anything can happen. But if you get punched, maintain your composure.
You know, I tell you, man, as a 9-year-old impressionable kid in the stands, I was used to seeing us get our butts kicked a lot. And 1981 was the year the Riders started to change things. So I was pretty excited to see a guy stand up for our team. So you know what? It might have not have been great in terms of etiquette, but as a suffering Rider fan, a young impressionable suffering Rider fan, I was like, yeah, kick his ass.
You know what? The greatest thing is, what's so funny is the fans actually paid my fine. It was $300.
Yeah.
And back then, $300 was a lot of money, you know, because I wasn't making that much playing football. But anyway, I was like, is that legal? And they go, yeah. I was like, well, okay, I appreciate it, but what? They paid my fine? But I was like, okay. But I loved the job. I mean, I had a great time in Virginia.
Yeah, that's
awesome. The best fans in the world. I'm going to tell you something. When I first came, I was a rookie. You mentioned that in the opening, that I was a rookie in Montreal.
Yeah.
So you're in a big city. It's like New York without the dangerous fun and all that. So we come out there for a preseason game. We get off the plane, and there's the golf course.
Yeah.
And it didn't have grass on the greens. I'm like, where are the greens? That's not green. Oh, man. If I had to play here, I'd quit. Next thing you know, I need a job, and Saskatchewan calls me. Man, I was so happy to have a job. And you know what? I really loved it in Regina. The fans love the Rough Riders, and they support us no matter how tough it was. But there wasn't no lack of trying. I mean, we had a great group of guys that played their butts off. Our coaches coached their butts off. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're getting better. You know, we're getting better. And since that time, how many great cups has they
had? We've got 3 great cups since you were here, 4 in total, and they got a brand new stadium. So, yeah, Bobby Hosea,
wow.
part of the storied past of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Bobby, though, people might remember you. You're a good-looking dude. You not only were a football player, you're an actor. Like, you were O.J. Simpson in the made-for-TV movie. You've done lots of other things, Independence Day, Benson, Perfect Strangers, you name it. How did Bobby Hosea go from football player to actor?
Well, you know what? It just kind of happened. Being at UCLA, and I guess it was just meant. I wore number 7, and Mark Harmon, you know, CSI, NCSI fame and whatnot, and Dad was Tom Harmon, a Heisman Trophy winner from Michigan. He was our color commentator for our games. And so one day I was in our bank, our local bank right there in Westwood at UCLA, and I was coming out, and he was coming in, and he said, hey, Bobby, have you called those people yet? And I'm like, no, because he'd never mentioned it to me ever, but no. And he goes, hey, let me get you the number again. I'm like, okay. He goes, now make sure you ask for Chris and tell her I told you to call. And the only reason I called him, Michael, was because I knew I'd see him again. Mm-hmm. I wasn't, you know, I didn't even know what they were. I just took the card. I'm just shocked that he was talking to me about this because I didn't know anything about it. So I call him. It turns out she says, okay, you have any pictures of yourself? I'm like, yeah, I have pictures of myself. Who doesn't, really? She says, okay, bring your resume and your picture with you and your headshot. I'm like, I don't even know what a headshot is. I don't have a resume. I've never had a job. But here's my blessing, Michael. I was taking sports casting, so I knew how to read copy and look into the camera and as if I'm talking and not reading. And I had that down because, you know, we have great, great courses at UCLA. So I went in. I went to my professor. He put together all these lies that I had never done, as a broadcaster. It didn't happen. Mm-hmm. And then our sports, our photographer for the Daily Bruin, our newspaper, Bill, I said, hey, Bill, do you know what an etch out? He goes, yeah, you need one? I go, sure. So I take a picture. I'm all goofy looking, smiling. So I take this in, and the lady, I'll never forget her. I can't think of her name right now, but she looks at my resume, and she's like, you did all this? And I go, yes, I did. She goes, why come I've never heard of you? I said, I have no idea. So she hands me this piece of paper, and she says, okay, This is a script. I'm going to make a phone call, go over it. So I look at it, and I set it down on the table, and she's like, wow, that was unusual. What I didn't know that actors, like, they just agonize over what's my motivation, what's my thought, what am I doing? And I don't do that. I just look at it and go, okay, I just believe it right away. So she says, action, and I do it a bit. And at the end of the little bit, she says, oh, my God, you're a natural. I said, I am. She goes, yes, I'm going to start sending you out. I go, well, ma'am, I'm a senior at UCLA. I can't work, but I'll be back at the end of my senior year, okay? So she just, like, you can see, like, just melt like the Wicked Witch from the Wizard of Oz when they threw the water on it, right? And she's like, oh, disappointed. And I, sure enough, I go have my senior year. I call them back. Hey, I'm available now. Okay, they send me out. I go out for a Safeway commercial. Everything you want from a store and a little bit more. And I ended up getting it. It was the first thing I ever went on. I got it, and then I would spend 6 months in L.A., right, doing commercials, 10, 12 national TV commercials, unheard of. I didn't know. I didn't know. And then I go to Canada and play football for 6 months and make $23,000 in Canadian money. And then come back home and make real money. You know, I mean, like make like $70,000 to $80,000. I didn't know that I was an actor, you know. But as I got towards the end of my career, I realized that, you know, football's not forever. My body was starting to give in. At 28, I walked away from the game. I said, what's next? My neck, my back, what's next? You know, and I started studying it for real. Like 26 years old, I started taking acting classes. So I actually realized that, man, I am an artist and I have something. I can do this, right? Because I really focus, like football is the same focus. It's just in a different environment.
Yeah.
But it requires the same amount of focus.
Yeah.
And that's what happened, man. So I just kept going and going on auditions and getting them and working and moved to the next thing. So I wanted to go to the next thing. So like you said Benson. That was amazing. I got a Benson. I don't know how I did it, right? Because every time I would rap, Michael, I would always go, oh, no, I hope they don't find out. I don't know what I'm doing. I need another job, right? I was so lucky.
Yeah, you've carved out a great career that way, too, and now back to coaching. But before I let you go, man, you played O.J. Simpson. What was it like to take on that role? And then I got a follow-up question before we let you go. What was it like to take on the role of O.J. Simpson?
It was very challenging in that, well, for me, you know, being a competitor, I claimed it the day that he was in his driveway, in that car, I'm real, okay? I'm an American. I'm real. So I said, bro, you better get your butt out that car because the sniper's on the roof. You're accused of killing two white people in America, and you're a brother, and you're in a car, and the sniper's on the roof. As soon as the sun goes down, homie, you're dust. You better get your butt out that car. I'm talking to the TV, right?
Yeah.
And he gets out. Next thing you know, he's got his hands in the air, and he's walking, and they come and get him. They take him in the house, and my wife was in the living room, and I was in the den watching it. I go in the living room. I said, baby, I'm getting ready to do my movie. She goes, what movie? I said, the O.J. movie. She said, they called you already? I said, no, he's not even in jail yet, but they're going to call me. Because they had done 2 Joey Buttafuoco movies, 2 Roseanne Barr movies, and 2 movies about Madonna, movies of the week.
Yeah.
It was just kind of like that. So I just knew they were going to make a movie about this. And so I started researching O.J., and wow, all these similarities we had was almost like the Twilight Zone theme music started playing because it was unbelievable, the things that we had in common. It was just crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And I just kind of claimed it, just knew it was going to be me. And that's kind of how it happened. But I had worked with him on First and 10 years earlier on HBO, and it was just amazing that I had a scene with him, right? And I'm all dressed up. I'm the team's PR director. So I'm trying to make Tom Unesa America's quarterback. Like Dallas was America's team. So they're biting off that whole thing, right? So,
yeah.
But I was making me America's PR man. So I was all flashy. I don't know if I had a skin suit jacket on or something. I don't know. A snake skin jacket. I don't know. But anyway, I see OJ. I say, hey, Juice, I'm working. I'm like a little kid. I'm working with you, man. I'm working with you today. He looks at me up and down, turns to his left, and never says another word until the director says, oh, let's rehearse. And he never looked at me throughout the whole scene. So it hurt my feelings, right? It hurt my feelings. I'm like, man, you're running through airports and, you know, and all this stuff. And he was doing the Avis commercials and all that and everything else. I said, you can't act anyway. I'm going to show you. I said, of course. I said all this to myself. I said, you can't act anyway. I'm going to show you one day. And, wow, he takes a ride in a Bronco, accused of murdering 2 people.
Yeah.
And it becomes a big national thing, and I'm in Hollywood, and I've been told I look like him in that, but I went in for the audition, and I got it.
Yeah.
Then it was wild, but things got, you know, very crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it affected my job, my workability, because there's a lot of Trojan directors and people from SC in the business. I don't know if they had it or not, but I was getting a lot of ass in acting, man. I'm a competitor, so I go to win, so I prepare to win. That's the bottom line about being a football player. If you don't prepare to win, you're not going to win. So if it's in your blood to prepare, it follows you no matter what you do.
Yeah.
And so I should get, and I don't know that it was because of me playing that part. I can't say that for sure. But I didn't change, and I think I'm growing, getting better every day as an actor, so I didn't lose anything. But anyway,
yeah.
It was a life lesson.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, did you – now, let me ask you this. I'm going to get your opinion since you played him. Do you think O.J. Simpson was guilty?
You know, that was the first thing people always ask me that. And at the time, it was right when, you know, parents had lost their children and children had lost their mother. And so for me to give my opinion on that, I couldn't win one way or another because it split America down the middle, black and versus white. And so who's this guy's opinion? Why should it matter? But so my answer was basically, you know, if you can live, if you breathe and you can walk and you can talk you can murder somebody. So I don't put it past him. I don't say that he did it. I don't say that he didn't do it. You know, I have my suspicions. When my neighbor told me, I was walking, and my neighbor said, this is when I first found out about it. He goes, hey, did you hear about OJ's wife? I said, the way he said it, I go, what happened? She was murdered. I said, she was murdered? He goes, yeah. Her throat was cut. I said, her throat was cut? He goes, yeah. I said, so where was OJ? He goes, he was in Chicago. Oh, he was in Chicago. He said, he left that night. I said, he left that night? He goes, yeah. And he was bleeding. And he was bleeding? I said, he did it.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people would think the same thing. Man, I'll tell you what, I wish I could talk to you forever, and maybe we'll have you on again with some more football-related talk, man.
Maybe we'll talk when the Riders are getting ready to go to that next breakup, man, and come up with number five.
Well, you know what? You should come down You should come to the stadium, my friend. We got a brand new stadium, we're hosting the Grey Cup. Bobby Hosea, the actor, should be in here, man.
I love the Riders, man.
That's awesome.
Those 2 years I was there, I just enjoyed myself. I really did, man. I got lifelong friends. Steve Stickman Dennis. You got to get Stickman on one day.
Yeah, I know.
He's the best coach I ever had in my life, and he's my teammate. And I'm teaching what he taught me to my kids to this very day.
The Stickman Dennis was a great one, and so is Bobby.
Right.
So is Bobby Jose. Thanks for this, Bobby. I appreciate it.
Michael, my pleasure. Thank you.
This has been Growing the Game with Ballsy. If you have a football story you'd like to share to help us grow the game, email Michael Ball at mball@harvardbroadcasting.com. Ballsy can be heard weekdays in Regina on 104.9 The Wolf Morning Show and during Saskatchewan Roughriders and U of R Rams broadcasts on 620 CKRM.